Welcome, everybody, to September 2018 Investors Digest Market Update brought to you by the one and only John Barr with Prime Homes. Got a lot of good information to cover, so only got about 15 minutes to get through it before my recorder timer's up. So we will go ahead and get right into it. So the July-August review numbers, the average sales price rose to $267,661, which is just under a 6% increase year over year. So average sales prices are continuing to rise. Median sales price jumped back up again this month to $220,000, which is a 6.3% increase year over year. And we were seeing a little bit of a drop in total sales, but we are back up to 8.4% increase year over year to 3,236. So a lot of sales volume out there, a lot of houses being sold. Average rental price is actually back up. Now I have saw just a little mistake here that it is actually a 1.3% increase year over year, not a decrease. And this is an all-time high that we have now hit here in San Antonio up at the 15-16 average rents. The unemployment, you see right there at 1.142 million, which is a 2.57% increase year over year. And we gained just under 3,000 jobs from last month. Not a huge gain in jobs, but when we're talking an unemployment rate of 3.5%, you don't have a lot of room to really continue to gain jobs. At the 3.5%, we are below the Texas average and below the national average. So that's really good for San Antonio and really good for real estate prices. So we actually dropped 0.16% from last month. Month's inventory is at 3.28, and you can see why that's being driven. We got a lot of sales volume, a lot of pricing increase, a very low unemployment. I got some slides in here that we'll review in a little bit about the gross domestic product here in San Antonio and how much we're actually growing, as well as our business cycles and the growth that we are seeing. So as long as those things continue, we're going to see a continuing either steady climb in prices. So now this is a 6.6 that 3.28 months of inventory is a 6.69% decrease from year over year. I say that's good because I'm in the business of renovating and selling houses. But if you're in the business of trying to really buy a house right now as a normal consumer, that can be post challenges as low inventory, low unemployment, high sales volumes. That means houses are moving and there's not a lot of inventory to choose from, and prices are continuing to rise with those economic forces. Keep in mind that the balanced market between buyers and sellers is 6 months of inventory. So anytime we're below six means there is more demand and not enough inventory. And the lower that number gets, the more demand, the less inventory there really is. So it's something to kind of keep in mind of what those numbers really mean. So now looking at the median sales prices over the last several years, what you're really looking at here is the mini cycles of real estate between summer and winter. So you can kind of follow the dates along the bottom, how it goes up in the summer, down in the winter, up in the summer, down in the winter. But over time, it does continue to rise up. So keep that in mind if you are thinking about selling your home or you're renovating houses, of when you can try to get them on the market and when to really push and when to kind of maybe hold off a little bit for a month or two if you can, to catch that next wave. Now, one thing I continue to watch for this is how it's reacting. And you can kind of see coming out of the recession, it was a much more gradual, smooth peak and then fall a little bit here, but then another peak and fall in these last two summers. It shot up, dropped back down, bounced back up. So it's getting a little more volatile, and I'm going to continue to watch that because you can see how fast coming out of the last cycle, we really shot up. So I don't think the 6% year over year is sustainable long term, but we have been going at that rate for some time now. So can it continue? I don't think long term, but it seems like it is going to continue for a little bit until we get that price point where we find that equilibrium. But with the growth that we are still seeing here in San Antonio, things are still moving right along. Monthly rents, you can kind of see the exact same thing where it rises and falls. So I would recommend, and I do this, I know other investors do this, that if you pick up a rental property in December, make it a 3 to 4 month lease that you can get those rates or those new leases always ending in that March, April timeframe, to where if you do have a vacancy, you can get in there, clean the property, get it back on the market to where you are catching that next wave to catch that higher rents. So now what I am watching here is that we had a drop last month, and that's very inconsistent for the time of year to see it bounce around like that. And rents are something usually much more stable and aren't as volatile. So I want to watch those things and see how that continues to track over time. 20-year unemployment. You can see the last two recessions here, and why I track this is if I start seeing half to 1% increases month over month, you can really see in the last recession how fast the unemployment rate really took off month over month and stayed there for a while and gradually tracked down. And now you can see we're just bouncing around the bottom. So we did see 2 months ago a 0.5% increase, but it dropped back down and leveled off. Something that's not too concerning if it's just 1 month, but if I see it month over month over month, I'm really going to be looking at what's going on in the economy, what is driving this unemployment, because if unemployment continues to rise, that means jobs are being laid off, consumers are going to get scared, and that's going to slow the real estate prices. And going back to this here, you can see that started in 2007 and 8 when unemployment started rising, but we didn't bottom out till 2011. So you still got a 3 year window where real estate prices start to fall. So you get gives you kind of plenty of time to prepare and adjust your strategy of depending on what you are doing. Year over year appreciation, you can see that's why I always track this to see how this is moving year over year. And you can see we bottomed out at that 2011, shot back up, and we've been hitting those 6, 7, 8, 9, 10% and all the way up to 11 in 2015. And I thought we were starting to trend back down, but we did spike up again this last summer in April to a 9% year over year appreciation. So we are still hitting those numbers. I don't think, like I mentioned earlier, I don't think this is sustainable long term to keep having these high appreciation numbers when your wage growth is only at 2%, but real estate prices are hitting at 6, 7, 8, and especially what they're starting to raise interest rates on the Federal Reserve and the overnight rates, which will eventually trickle back down into mortgage rates. So I'm going to continue to watch this to see if we start hitting back down to those lower 2, 3, 4s, which is your historical average, is a 3% growth over time. And we have been over 3% for some time. When you average all of this out, it comes out to between 5.5-6% year over year, which is almost double what the historical average is. But you got to keep in mind that we were falling back here in 2000, from 2008 to 2011. So I'm going to continue to watch that right there. So now, like I was mentioning earlier, is San Antonio growing? You can see the long-term growth average, and this is the business cycle index, where businesses are expanding, they're hiring, they're adding more jobs, and they are moving, trying to grow what are their bottom lines. So you can see in 2009, 8, 9, we bottomed out, and then we started climbing, climbing, got up over the average, and we were hanging up above the average for several years. Then we got back down and now we're below it in 2018, but we are still growing. We're not sitting at the long-term growth average. Now, you gotta remember that's over a long time, so you have stuff that's higher, you have stuff that's lower. And right now we're a little below that, sitting around the 2% and kind of trending down a little bit, but it has been maintaining for the last several months right there at that 2% business cycle growth rate. So that's good. As long as we're staying above that, that's fine. If we start continuing to fall down and unemployment starts going up, that's when I would be kind of sounding a little bit of an alarm and saying I would be kind of be a little more picky and choosy with what you're getting into as far as rehabs and what your long-term strategy is. So now this is something that the Dallas Fed put out from the Bureau of Economic Analysis, which I think is really cool. I can't get the same stuff every single month, so they put out new information, which is really beneficial to tune in every month because this information does get pulled from different sources and it does change a little bit. And these are the things that I really enjoy to watch to see what different information comes from where. And you can kind of see the real gross domestic product growth of here in San Antonio on a year-over-year basis. And you can see that San Antonio is still going up. And the 2017 year when this data just came out, we grew 4%, which is great because that is higher than Texas and that is higher than the national average. And that is, I think, partly driven by our affordability of your city and the unemployment being lower than national average and lower than Texas. So we only kind of see here where 2009 dropped off and then we rose all the way to 2015, dropped off in 16, and now we're rising again in 2017. And I don't expect to get another year's worth of growth till obviously 2018 is over and we're into 2019 to see how much San Antonio has grown. Now, this is a great example of as long can this to sustain this growth in the real estate prices increasing like I'm asked a lot. And as long as these numbers continue to go up, unemployment stays low, gross domestic product keeps growing, and business cycle stays positive, we can still sustain a level, at least a level real estate price and slowly rising along with these numbers as long as wages continue to rise. So now where to market? Where's the best month's lowest month's inventory and the highest month's inventory and best prices to market? And excuse me for kind of be rushing through this, a lot of, like I mentioned, a lot of information to cover in a short amount of time. So now I do this by price range and by zip code to see where is the most in-demand housing in San Antonio. Keep in mind that 6 months is the average. Anything below that means there's more demand than there is supply. The lower the number, the more demand and the less supply. And you can see where our most in-demand housing in San Antonio is that 150 to 250 price range sitting at less than 2 months and a 2.65. And there's a lot of demand. I'm sure if you're a buyer's agent watching this, you kind of feel it. You submit an offer on a good house in those price ranges, you are usually fighting multiple offers and you really don't have much negotiating power because seller agents, investors know that there is not much demand or inventory in those price ranges. And you can kind of see here in San Antonio where we have a jump from the 250 to 300. And it's kind of interesting now that I've been doing this for several years. This 1 month jump almost, or 8.8 tenths of a month increase in the inventory used to be from the 200 to 250. But since we have been going up for so long, you can really tell that this has shifted up into the 250-300 price range. And I think it's a lot of jobs being created, economy expanding, and wages rising. So now, what are the best zip codes, the most in-demand inventory? Where do people want to live? And this month, it's that 251, 240, and 220, which is really crazy to me, is because 251 and 240 are very large zip codes. And to see 2.6 months of inventory, and really what that means is if no new houses got listed in that entire zip code, which has thousands of homes in it, it would take less than 2 months, 2 months for every house to be sold in those zip codes. And now you can kind of see the appreciation you have seen almost 2 years. So now I do this in December 16th, and once I get into the December data, I'll move this into a 2-year moving average so you can see the appreciation that some of these areas have seen. Now, you should be getting, depending on where you're watching this, you should be getting a PDF copy with this, these slides, so you can kind of click through and review and watch this again and kind of get that repetition so you can see what these numbers really mean. So now over here, oh, got a little bit of a, there we go. Worst of zip codes. Now, this isn't to say these are bad zip codes to be new and doing in any investing or holding some of these properties, because you can really see that these areas still are appreciating very nicely, especially like here at 202, which is the downtown area, from 124 to 186, or here in 204 downtown area again from 146 to 273 on the average sales median sales prices. So they're not bad zip codes. It's just something to keep in mind of what your competition level is in that area, because you are in the higher price ranges now. So you can keep this in mind of what the months of inventory is for the entire city. So it's really kind of something you want to watch to see what do you need to do something extra? Do you need to, how do you say, put a little. And my computer just crashed, so I'll kind of, that was my last slide, so I'll just kind of talk through this really quick. I don't know what's going on with PowerPoint right now, but keep that in mind as far as doing. Let's see if I can get it here real quick. There we go. I don't know why that keeps crashing. Sorry about that. But now, something to kind of keep in mind of what you're doing in these zip codes if you need to do more staging, better pictures, or spend a little extra money in some of the high-priced areas like your kitchens and baths to make your competition level so you're not sitting on these higher-end price points stuck in these zip codes in hard money loans, because every interest payment is coming straight from your bottom line in these higher zip codes. So, something to really keep in mind. Now that kind of concludes it. I apologize for the technical difficulties. I'll have to see why that is not working properly. But if you have any questions, you can shoot me an email at john@primehomes. You can hop onto social media, Facebook and Instagram. Give us a shout out there. Like our pages to stay up to date on what we are doing. And depending on where you're watching this right now, we had a little issue. If you've gone to our website and signed up for these monthly updates in the PDF slides, a link was broken. So if you signed up and haven't gotten it, please go back to our website at primehomes.com and resubmit your information so you can get make sure you're on these lists. With that, that concludes. Oh, and check out our podcast on Investor's Journey on all your majors. We'll see you guys next month.